Do you ever watch Grand Designs? Years ago, my husband and I discovered this TV program in which the cameras follow the ideas, the plans, the designs, and the execution of a house build done by individual people for their own use. A few of the people who build are architects or in the building industry, but most aren't. As the programme unfolds, we watch ordinary people turn their dreams into reality. Sometimes their primary idea is rather vague and needs a lot of adjusting and tweaking. And others can visualise what they want down to the last handle on the last cupboard in their kitchen before they even begin. But whichever way their ideas take shape in bricks and mortar, or more often in hay bales and lime plaster, they will at some time need detailed plans drawn up, both for the builders and the other craftsmen to refer to, but also for the building inspectors who will give them the required seal of approval. And we, the viewers, sometimes sit and watch in disbelief at some of the proposals. Do you remember the one where the man bought two empty shipping containers and he built a house by putting one on top of the other at right angles and hanging one of the free ends over a waterfall? But the man whose dream it was stuck to his guns and the result was stunning. Those who run into trouble are often the ones who haven't got proper plans, so the stonemasons don't know what the plumbers are doing, etc., and lots of alterations and bodging goes on. Today, we as a church are thinking about building up our church community. But we are not doing it from scratch, are we? We already have a much-loved church fellowship, and so many of us here have been instrumental in building it. But even the Grand Designs edifices need upgrading and maintenance over the years, and some buildings have extensions added as the years go by. Today's topic is, I suppose, about looking at the equivalent of the architectural drawings and plans that have been drawn up for our parish for the next 4 years. What will our grand parish design look like in 2023? And what vision and strategy will get us there? And if that last sentence has given you a rash because you're allergic to management speak, then you're in good company, because I feel a bit that way too. That's why I've had to approach this topic from the Grand Designs analogy. It's the best way I felt I could engage with it. I suppose the overall heading on our plans is what we've adopted as our mission statement. Our purpose as a church is to know Christ and make him known to others. And that's great. That's our mission statement. I think we can all get behind that. But what are the plans given to us to help us achieve our imagined vision in the next 4 years? Well, the first plan, or hope, is that we will have increased in size by at least 10%. Well, I find this a challenge for lots of reasons, not least because I don't tend to speak the language of management and numbers in quite that way. But I do understand wanting to share something good that I have with others, and I know this has always been part of the culture of this parish. It's also a challenge because I don't think of God in speaking in terms of percentages. But I do think of him as speaking in terms of invitation and inclusion. And our current series of sermons about our culture has included that idea, hasn't it? We've already spoken about welcoming, and we will be speaking about honouring and loving and encouraging other people. It's those things that make a community attractive to others. We are aiming for real relationships built on those qualities. So our first diagram on our building plans is about invitation to meet us, to come again, to join us, to be part of us. But you may say, well, I don't mind inviting people to church, but I get a bit stuck when they ask questions about what exactly it is we believe. I don't have the skills to answer that sort of thing. Today, people are still, you'd be surprised, very interested in faith and in those who exercise it. And often, all they need to hear is how you came to be a believer, or how God helped you to deal with a difficult state of your life, perhaps. Telling someone the good news of Jesus doesn't require a degree in theology. But, there's always a but, we can improve our own understanding. And another diagram on the building plans is about doing exactly that, so that we can mature in faith and enjoy lifelong learning. And then in turn, we can help others learn. After all, isn't that exactly what we do within our family generations? We pass on what we've learnt to those with whom we have relationships. We have lots of opportunities to increase our Christian learning. Within the parish, we've got our house groups, we've got teaching courses. I think we run 2 years at the moment. And then just asking questions about our leaders, reading Christian books that can expand our understanding. And what's more, in this parish, we have numerous opportunities to deepen our spiritual understanding and our prayer lives in a practical way. Then we see a third diagram on the plans. Maturing in age, which I found I'm doing anyway, is not enough, is it? We need to mature in wisdom and compassion. And that's the subject of this diagram. Using our mature experience to meet the needs of others. Having the wisdom to know how to be involved in the needs of our wider community. How to lead others in the church. And how to be a resource to our neighbours, our friends, our other groups in Ashted. And for some of us, maturing faith may bring a call to some form of ministry training. So, will our churches look any different by 2023? In theory, possibly they won't, because we all hope we are doing all these things anyway. We worship God and we invite others to do so through our welcoming community. And that should lead to our being sent out by God in service. But we have to say, we have to look at ourselves and say, are we doing it? Are we doing it enough? Are we doing it well? Are we doing it with our whole heart? Are we doing it intelligently and with training? Jesus sent his followers out because the harvest was ready, but the labourers were few. And he still does the same. There is so much he wants to bring into full fruition and harvest, but he needs our cooperation to do the harvesting, to gather in the fruit of his harvest. And we might be gathering people to know him, or gathering goodness together to combat the sorrow and evil that we see all around us, or gathering people in to learn and be enriched. But if we're going to work on his behalf, we do need to learn and train and keep spiritually fit and growing. And the result is that we can serve Christ then by serving others. We are his hands and feet in his world. There are so many people within a few miles of our parish who are in great need, some of them in great economic need. There are people I know in every street which is represented here. There'll be somebody in need of emotional support. There's a whole generation of young families who are in need of encouragement because both parents have to go to work to pay the mortgage and life is hard and difficult and busy. There are children who may know nothing at all of our loving God because no one has taught them. And all those skills, all those things, everything I've touched on, are skills which we, all of us, have. May we be prepared to share them when we can and when it's appropriate. Now back to the grand designs analogy. The people in that programme are building for themselves. We build for Christ. We do it to bring him glory and to extend his kingdom so that more and more people may be blessed. Blessing people is a very important part of our ministry. And in the other services today, I know Richard has been talking on this subject, and he's emphasised that before we do anything else, we are there to bless people. As I said earlier, some of the grand designs builders are rather vague and nearly always inexperienced about their plans. But the plans we are following come from a somewhat higher authority. Jeremiah's wonderful words that we heard read earlier. Those words from God to homeless and despondent people in exile. He said, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future and hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." They're such precious words. God's concern for our future is as much today as it was then. And God's plans, not coercions, but his plans, are ones which bring benefit and joy. And he wishes us to let others know this. At the moment, our parish has this strategy for how we can do it. Our ministry team has set up a number of activities which we offer to our community as ways into contact with the church. Sometimes they may be just ways into being helped in times of trouble. But we hope and pray that through the contact with our church, some people may be attracted to know the Lord himself. We have extensive activities for children. We reach out to older people who may be isolated. We aim to give practical help to those in economic difficulties. And these are pathways of care, which we hope will become pathways to Christ. So today, this sermon is also a thank you to all of you who are involved with these, and an encouragement to join in for those not yet participating. And we even, because we're terribly up to date, we even have a little logo to represent all this. And I think you were given a copy of it as you came into church. And the words on the logo are connecting, gathering, growing, and serving. That's not a bad plan for a grand design, is it? And we pray that it has the seal of approval of our heavenly building inspector. Shall we pray together? Father, you have blessed us with being members of your body on earth. Please now use us to invite and welcome others on board. May we build up our circle of contact in our village so we can be genuine friends and valuable helpful neighbours. We pray that we may help this parish to grow in numbers and in spiritual maturity, so that you are honoured and your blessings fall freely on others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.